Welcome to the Back in Time podcast with Kyle and JD, where every week we jump into our DeLorean, cruise to 88 miles per hour, and travel back in time to review our favorite films. Every week we talk about current cinema, the latest trailers, and we pick a new favorite film every single episode.
And I need a nuclear reaction to generate the 1.21 gigawatts of electricity.
1.21 gigawatts!
Don't say that! Never say that! Goonies never say die!
You're the best! We're the beautiful! We're the only!
Now, here's your host, Kyle Autry, and his co-host, JD.
Welcome to the Back in Time podcast. My name is Kyle Autry, joined as always by my co-host JD. JD, how are you today?
Was that good?
Totally.
Did you hear the burp?
Totally inappropriate.
You asked how I was, so I burped at you.
Oh, okay. So
check me out on Twitter at UnjustJustin, where I often just burp for tweets.
I like it. You guys are listening to a special episode. We both had the opportunity over the weekend to go watch Ant-Man and the Wasp, and we wanted to jump on real quick and just give a little breakdown, give a review, and let you know what we thought about the film. So Ant-Man and the Wasp, of course, is the follow-up to Ant-Man from 2015. It's done very well. We'll talk about the box office numbers here in a minute. But JD, before we jump into Ant-Man and the Wasp, what did you think of the original film back in 2015? And let's jump back in the DeLorean for a minute.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of the original movie, and I know for a fact that it's because I'm a big Paul Rudd fan. I wonder, is this movie able to have the eight legs? Do ants have eight legs? They have six legs? I guess I don't even know. Is this movie able to have the ant amount of legs that it does without him as the star?
Okay, so you're saying that he's not the star of the sequel?
No, I'm saying if for example you replace Paul Rudd with Adam Scott,
is part one and
part two as good as it could be with Paul Rudd? I love Paul Rudd. Okay, that's all I'm trying to say. I'm a Rudlet.
Is that a thing? The Rudlets?
It is now.
You got it. Hashtag Rudlet. Let's get him on a chain. Get him locked into our podcast here. Yeah, so I'm gonna, piggyback off of what you said, and I really enjoyed the first Ant-Man, in part due to his role. I thought he was hilarious. It's the right amount of comedy mixed in with the right amount of action, mixed in with the right amount of just good storytelling, which is what really makes any movie good, right?
Oh yeah, totally.
So let's talk about the box office numbers real quick. So Ant-Man and the Wasp opens up $75 million opening weekend, a little bit under where I thought they were going to be. I had predicted they'd be about $100 million, but that's actually up from the original, which only grossed $57 million opening weekend. So the sequel is trending upwards, and I'm guessing probably going to end up somewhere in that $500 million mark, which is pretty solid for a film that they don't put a huge budget on. It definitely isn't an Avengers budget by any means. But JD, were you surprised at all to see how well it did opening weekend?
No, I'm really not. And people have really caught comic book fever for like a second round within the last year. And for Ant-Man and the Wasp to have performed so well, to me, is a testament of the staying power of a lot of these Marvel movies, and especially to Paul Rudd and, Michael Douglas. And I mean, the whole cast, it's a good movie. They put together a good movie that is funny, that is dramatic, and has some great special effects. Like, there's no reason why this movie is not successful.
Now, typically on our teaser trailer episodes, we'll talk about the critic response, the audience response. I'll definitely give you the numbers for Ant-Man, the original, but how do you feel like the sequel is being reviewed right now?
By critic or by audience?
By critics.
Oof. I want to say the critics are probably playing the intellectual card, where they're kind of overwhelmed and a little tired. A lot of what Ant-Man and the Wasp offers is fresh, but I feel like the critics are seeing through the cracks that exist in the structure of every single movie, which is essentially a boilerplate stamped on movie. You just replace the heads of the different actors. With that said, I wouldn't be surprised if the critics came out to the tune of like 68%.
Okay. So I think you would be pleasantly surprised to know that it's actually 86% right now on Rotten Tomatoes, which is 4% better than the original, which was 82. But the audience response is a little down. For the original, it was 86%. Right now, it's at 79% on Rotten Tomatoes. Yeah, I thought that's pretty impressive, right? For a sequel to be even better reviewed than the original.
Oh, I guess this is the new Godfather, right?
Well, let me ask you this. Do you think that is deserved?
Ask me that after we do the full review.
Okay, fair enough. So I want to talk about some of the new characters that we have in Ant-Man and the Wasp. So let's start with Walton Goggins. He's playing Sonny Birch. What do you think of his role here as Sonny Birch in Ant-Man and the Wasp?
To me, this is just Downtown made it out of the minor leagues and he got into black market smuggling. Major League 3 was obviously an amazing movie. And, you know, Goggins in that movie was always looking downtown. And that's all he's doing right here in this film. Like, he's always good and he knocks it out of the park. He's great in Django Unchained.
Yeah, he's fantastic in that one. Did you know that he was actually in the next Karate Kid, billed as Walt Goggins?
You know what? I'm going to go ahead and just admit this now. I've probably seen 19% of the next Karate Kid. So,
okay. So we'll put that as a no. Yeah, he's had a great career. I really liked him. And I don't know if you watched this show. I feel like I've asked you this before. But he had a two-season arc, actually three-season arc on Sons of Anarchy. And he was really good on that. And then he spent, I think, 6 years on Justified, which was another great show at that time.
Ooh, I've been meaning to get into Justified. I like Timothy Oliphant is in that, right?
Yes. Yeah, he's the lead. And then if you've got HBO, if you want to just watch a really funny comedy, he's one of the vice principals with that show called Vice Principals with Danny McBride. And that's fantastic. If you ever want to just get hooked on a short two-season TV series, I think that's worth looking into. Let's talk about our next character, Lawrence Fishburne. Man, he's in everything. And he's here as Dr. Bill Foster, who's Dr. Hank's old colleague. What'd you think about seeing Lawrence Fishburne show up in the sequel here?
He's an excellent actor, and, you know, I'm going to save and reserve any spoilers for later, but what they did with his character really caught me off guard. I was not ready for what his arc was, and I thought that was fantastic.
Okay. We also have Hannah John-Kamen. I'm not familiar with her work, but she plays Ava the Ghost. I thought her role in this film is awesome. And without giving away the spoilers yet and kind of her character and how it evolves throughout the movie, what'd you think of her in this role as Ava/Ghost?
To me, I think, and audience, I know a lot of you might hate me, but this is the first example of a Marvel secondary villain with a complex background that really establishes who they are and their motivations in the story. Like, I think that what she does makes more sense than what Killmonger does in Black Panther. Was it Killmonger?
I think so.
Okay.
If we're incorrect, audience, cut us a little slack. We're not fact-checking tonight.
Oh, fine. I was about to fact-check. What Michael B. Jordan does in Black Panther, I think this does a better job of establishing it. And lo and behold, they did not kill her off. Like, that was, oh shit, that was a spoiler.
Okay, little baby spoiler, we're sorry, we apologize, but hey, listen, the toothpaste is out of the tube, you can't get it back in there. It's impossible, I've tried, don't waste any time. Michelle Pfeiffer is in the role of Janet, the wife of Dr. Hank, mother of Hope. What did you think of seeing her? It's been a while since I've seen Michelle Pfeiffer in a film, and I thought it was fun seeing her here.
It was fun. Like, I love that Marvel has the money to swing around and get who they want, when they want, where they want. And to have somebody of that caliber in this movie is just fantastic. I mean, Michelle Pfeiffer, she's an icon. She's a legend.
She's a legend. She's also a future episode when we finally get to the sequel for the Batman and do Batman Returns. I love her as Catwoman. Now, and I apologize ahead of time for asking this question to, you know, anybody that's a lady listener of the podcast, but I could not stop staring at her lips, and I kept asking myself, are those lip injections, and why did you do it? What did that catch your eye at all? Because it bothered me almost every time she spoke.
No, I was just focusing on her hair.
Oh, her hair. I don't buy that for a second.
Ouch. You bite your injected tongue.
Again, and I'll apologize if she wasn't happy with her lips before, or if she just always had giant lips. I'm cool with it. But they were a bit distracting for me here. Let's give our first idea into the movie here. We're not going to give spoilers yet, but JD, for someone who is on the fence right now on whether they want to see this movie, it's going in the week two at the box office, what would you say to that person to get them to show up and spend $8 to $12 depending on where they live?
Yeah, this is a very enjoyable movie. You can easily spend $8 to $12 at McDonald's. You can spend $8 to $12 downloading pornography. No, put it towards Ant-Man. Sit down, put your butt in the theater, and watch a solid story with some great acting and some solid comedy. And guess what? They tie it into the bigger picture.
Okay. At this point, if you have not watched the movie yet, I would recommend you hit pause on this. Come back to it later on. We're now spoiler heavy. JD, what did you think of the sequel? And feel free to fire away.
All right. Overall, after seeing how it ends, I was a little confused as to why Ant-Man and the Wasp comes out after Infinity War. Now, mind you, imagine seeing the mid-credit scene before Infinity War and having no idea what that meant.
That would have been awesome. And I agree with you 100%.
Can you? I would have been sitting in the seats going, holy hell, what the f*** just happened? But seeing it from the other way, it's like, oh, yeah, well, okay. Yeah, so, okay, so, yeah, I know what happened. I would have loved these movies to have been released in reverse.
And ideally, I'm sure they would have liked for that to happen, but I'm sure scheduling probably prevents that. On when they want that big one to come out, and this is a little bit of a lesser release, so I think ideally that probably would have been the perfect scenario for them, but financially it probably made more sense to do it the other way.
Yeah, but obviously there are reasons, and I'm sure they had very good reasons, but imagine releasing Ant-Man and the Wasp in February and then Infinity War in what, late April it came out? And then Black Panther in July. Because the Black Panther story really offered nothing outside of setting and establishing characters.
Okay. That's a fair point. What was your favorite part of the film?
Oh, obviously, very easily, it was seeing Tim Heidecker from the Tim and Eric Show appearing as whaleboat captain Daniel Goobler. And if you look it up on IMDb, he has three O's in his name. It is G-O-O-O-B-L-E-R. Goobler.
Okay. I'm not familiar with that show, so I wasn't excited to see Goobler. But I was really impressed, number one, with Michael Pena in this movie, Luis. I think he continues to be a scene stealer for Ant-Man. He's hilarious in this one. I like his group of cronies, Paxton, Dave, who is T.I. those guys are great. And I can't remember what it is off the top of my head now, but there's something that Paxton says that just cracked me up. And it had to do with the story, but like some monster, like, do you know what I'm talking about?
Baba Yaga.
Yes.
He's from John Wick's movie, and the much time they spend talking of John Wick's is Baba Yaga.
So there's a couple of times when he breaks into that, and it's just hilarious.
With the gypsy music in the background, and it's just fantastic. I'm with you. I love the crew. I love Peña. I think that it's redundant of the first movie, but at the same time, who cares? Because it's hilarious.
Now, I've got one thing that annoyed me a little bit, but it also made me think of another movie. So Maggie, of course, is now married to Paxton. In the first movie, Paxton's all over Scott. You know, everything he does, he's up his butt. In the sequel, now he's hugging him. They're best friends. He's got his back. And the only thing I could think of is this not a ripoff to Santa Claus and with Judge Reinhold? Where when we get to the sequel, all of a sudden he's Scott Calvin's best friend.
No, I think that's a really great point that you bring up. And I think that it plays much into the fact that, you know, the culture within the movie really celebrates the celebrity existence. So, you know, we've got Paxton who realizes his current bang girl, her ex-husband, he knows the Avengers. He's like top-notch celebrity in the world. If Paxton wants Paul Rudd to phone up Captain America, he can do that.
We just call him Cap. So I like that scene when Paul Rudd says that. The other thing that I really liked, and this is just the dad in me, but how sweet was that just cardboard box playhouse that Scott created for his daughter with the slide and all that stuff? How amazing was that?
That opening scene was just glorious.
Can you guess what I was trying to Google when I got home?
Yourself?
I was trying to figure out how to make that in my house. Like, that was awesome. I'd be like my son's hero if I could make something even close to that.
Well, you need a lot of cardboard boxes, Kyle. How many cardboard boxes do you have on hand right now?
Well, I've got a Costco membership, and I'm confident that I can get some.
I'll give you 7 weeks. And 7 weeks from now, I want to do an update episode and say, where is Fort Kyle?
Anything you want to close with on the movie? Anything that we missed or that you wanted to bring up?
Again, the other thing that I want to bring up, at one point, Paul Rudd says pep pep, which is a frequent line in Tim and Eric. And we have Tim Heidecker in this movie. So I'm really curious to what influence Tim and Eric has on Man and the Wasp. And for like the maybe two or three listeners out there that are laughing with me right now, like, it was hilarious. When he said pep pep, I lost it. I was like the only one in the theater laughing.
I would be interested to hear the connection to that. Maybe they're just either the writer or Paul Rudd or the director are huge fans.
Paul Rudd has been on he's been on Tim and Eric, and
If you
jump into our the episode that we did with Black Cat Shadow, I made a salaryman joke. Do you remember that?
Yes, you did.
And so Paul Rudd in the Tim and Eric show plays a character named Salaryman, where he walks into this like Cerebro type computer and he goes, computer, load up Salaryman. And it's this just ridiculous skit. So look up Paul Rudd Salaryman and just LOL your ass off.
Awesome. Well, you know, this episode's going to be a little shorter. We're not taking our normal deep dive and breaking down every scene. We're going to save those for our throwback nostalgic movies. We're going to be back on the podcast tomorrow and we'll have the full episode of Candyman. We're going to be joined by Black Cat Shadow. That's going to be a really fun episode. Next week, we're going to be back with another episode we're doing I Know What You Did Last Summer. That's going to be episode 49. I think that's going to be a sleeper if you're a fan of the horror genre. And then we've got our big episode 50 coming up right after that. And it's going to be a three-parter teaser trailer on Monday. interview with author Kasene Gaines on Tuesday, author of Where We're Going, We Don't Need Roads, the Back to the Future trilogy. And then on Wednesday, we're going to have the full episode out for Back to the Future. So it's going to be a celebration of, number one, hitting 50 episodes. And two, you know, it's the movie that we kind of named the podcast after. So I think it's fitting. As always, follow us on social media at Back in Time Pod. I'm at KAutry29. JD's at Unjust Justin. And you can subscribe to our podcast for free on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, YouTube. Throw us a 5-star review. Help us grow the podcast. And just interact with us. And we'll talk to you guys tomorrow with the full episode of Candyman. See ya.
Computer love, Celery Man.